Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished and respected professional talking to us from Nakuru, Kenya, Faria Lalai Kipian. Faria, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you. Faria is the founder of the Uzuri Empowerment Hub in Kenya. She's a gender justice champion, a social innovator, and a community manager. So Faria, before we talk about Uzuri, tell me about your own journey in brief and what inspired you to start your journey in social innovation and community development.
So one thing I'd say, just growing up in the space that I've grown up, I feel like servant leadership has always been something that we were taught.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up seeing my parents serving the community in small ways and big ways. So for us, our conversation in the house never was about just us.
Mm-hmm.
It was always about, oh, there's a neighbor who cannot afford to get food, or there's a homeless person that we need to support, or there was always that conversation in our home.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that is something I grew up seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think not just me, even my siblings picked that up from our parents, and we took it as a career. So that is one of my key lessons growing up. So that's from there, that's mm-hmm. how I picked up community development as a career. And here I am.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So let's talk about Uzuri Empowerment Hub. Tell me about the Uzuri Empowerment Hub and its core mission.
So Uzuri Empowerment Hub, Uzuri is a Swahili word, means wellness and goodness. And so the mission and vision of Uzuri Empowerment Hub is to empower women and girls through training and mentorship, of course, to reduce their vulnerability to social and gender injustices.
Mm-hmm.
Why we focus on girls and why this kind of work is because, of course, I've also grown up in a community. I come from a pastoralist community here in
Mm-hmm.
Kenya,
Mm-hmm.
and these are the some of the minority and, of course, marginalized communities. And women and girls are the most affected. So when it comes to issues of climate change, they are the highest affected. When it comes to issues of gender injustices, like gender-based violence and economic injustices, they are most affected.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, empowering women and girls to be able to access the same opportunities that I've been able to access is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to mobilize other women around my circle who are excited about the same vision and of course empowering women and girls in different communities. And that is what we do at Uzuri Empowerment Hub. We create spaces where women and girls from marginalized communities can be able to achieve their full potential.
Yes. Amazing. Thank you. And Faria, you got a background in technology. As a woman with a background in technology, what challenges did you face and how did you overcome them?
So one of the things that for me, I feel like was a unique challenge, just even being in school and taking technology as a course,
mm-hmm.
was the fact that I was not the typical technology student, where I am either doing programming or website development or in that context of technology. For me, I got into technology to expand my social innovation skills.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know how can I get very innovative ways to solve social issues.
Mm-hmm.
So most people don't understand that. So there's that assumption that when you're in the technology space,
Mm-hmm.
you have to fall in the normal traditional categories.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you're a woman, there's the context of, there's the prejudgment and prejudice that women do not understand technology or do not take technology courses seriously. So for me, that was a big challenge, and I had to take a lot of time to prove that. I had to to work twice as hard to prove
Mm-hmm.
that technology doesn't have to be traditional. I don't need to be a programmer just to prove that I went to school and did technology. I can always use the knowledge that I got and change the world in different ways. So
Mm-hmm.
for me, that was one of the main challenges, trying to prove that there are other ways to use technology knowledge.
Very interesting. Thank you. And my next question is, what kind of life skills education do you find most impactful for women and girls in the communities that you work in?
So for the women and girls that I serve, one of the key things that I've seen as an issue is poverty. And that is like a key factor that brings about other issues like gender-based violence and mental health issues for women and girls. So I believe that training women and girls on economic empowerment skills, and especially entrepreneurship skills, is very key, because we are in a society that not everyone will get the traditional employment. Not everyone will finish school and get employed somewhere. And so they have to have options. Women and girls are going through challenges because they do not have options of how then can they elevate their poverty level. So training on economic empowerment is really important for these women and girls.
Okay. And, you know, when I was preparing for my conversation with you, I was fascinated by the different initiatives you have in Uzuri. Yeah, you have Uzuri Women's Center, you have Adopt a Home, you have Jamila. Tell me a little bit about these initiatives and what do you do here?
So interesting thing is, when I started doing community development work as a volunteer, I volunteered for different initiatives or sectors that impact women and girls. So I worked in the health sector, climate change, climate justice sector, education sector. And for me, it was very interesting to see the intersectionalities that are there that impact women and girls in our community. So when I was looking out to starting an initiative of my own, I wanted to create a hub or a space that we can be able to tackle these initiatives differently. And one of the questions that we were asking at Uzuri is that, how can we reduce the vulnerabilities of women and girls better? So we ask ourselves, do we create spaces where we can have different programs, or do we just focus on one? And so that is why we started the different programs. All of them at the end of the day are towards directly impacting women and girls. And so the idea is to empower the women and girls themselves. So that is through Jamila. Jamila works towards empowering girls in school through life skills training and menstrual hygiene training, so that they can be able to make healthy life choices. And so we train them on different life skills, and then we empower them to start clubs within their schools so that they can cascade this information back to the other students in school. And so we also have Uzuri Women's Center. So that is like the heart of the organization or the whole initiative. So Uzuri Women's Center trains women between the age of 18 to 25 in partnership with local grassroots organization and of course, the local government with different forms of well-being skills. So that includes economic empowerment, mental health, reproductive health, building social networks. So we train them through a holistic approach so that they can be able to reduce their chances of vulnerabilities, either social or gender. So we Adopt a Home is a community resilience program that we hope, because one of the questions we try to answer is, if we empower women and we take them to a society that still has challenges, it's going to be going to cause more harm than good. So for us is, we empower these women with training, access to resources, and of course mentorship, but then we also prepare the community for them to come back by creating programs that empower the different community components. So that's why we have the four programs in Uzuri Empowerment Hub.
Fascinating. Yes. Thank you. My next question for you, Faria, is, what role does education play in your empowerment programs?
So education plays a key role, because one of the key tools that we use is training. Because we realize if women and girls have access education, and if they have higher literacy levels, it is easy for them to identify, to prevent and mitigate vulnerabilities, either gender injustices or economic injustices.
Right.
So for us, it is important that we create an access to education, both formal and informal. And we do not just focus on formal education, we also focus on informal education. So we also create avenues like mentorship, where we have one-on-one knowledge sharing. So we have exchange mentorship, where we have one-on-one knowledge sharing between the mentor and the mentee, because we believe that it is important that these groups have options and they understand how to deal with the challenges that they face in their day-to-day lives. Yes.
Thank you. My next question is, how do you, as someone who understands technology, use technology for social impact?
So we try to use technology in different ways. As I shared before, it's very hard to convince someone that, you know, we don't need to use technology the traditional way. So one of the ways we use technology is to create awareness. So to create awareness around the different gender injustices. And one of the things that we're trying to use now is gaming. So we create awareness around gender-based violence through use of gaming and online games, because we want to create a space where women and girls have the opportunity or the capacity to explore the challenges that they go through, feeling safe and non-discriminated. And we've realized technology is a very important tool in doing that, especially since we deal with a lot of sensitive issues like gender-based violence. So we use technology to do that, to help them go through and explore these challenges and find solutions for themselves, so that they are the solution, not just the solution receivers, but then of course the solution givers. So gaming is one of the ways we use technology. And one of something else that we're also incorporating right now is community-based research. One of the things that we are really advocating for is access to real-time data for grassroots organizations, because that can be a big challenge, especially if you are a community-based organization. Research is expensive and access to data can be really hard. So one of the ways we are looking forward to also incorporating technology is creating accessibility to data for grassroots and community-based organizations here in Kenya.
Wonderful, thank you. My next question, Faria, is that how do you measure the impact of your programs on women and girls' lives?
So there are many ways we can measure the impact of some of the programs that we are doing in the community that we serve. So one of the ways that we measure impact is the ability to assess the growth of a particular participant. So maybe before we do a needs assessment, and we also do a pre assessment before we start any program, and then also do a post assessment. So this helps us to know if for example, a participant said, my issue was access to mental health services or access to mental health information, or maybe access to financial resources to start a business, or financial information or a mentor. So we capture that before we start trainings or attachment to mentors, attaching the mentees to mentors. And then after every program, we do a post assessment just to see where these participants are. And we also do follow-ups. We really follow up with our participants, even post programs, by creating communities. So this helps us to constantly and continuously monitor the impact of our programs with our mentees. And one of my biggest success is just seeing them, especially in the Uzuri Women's Center, is seeing the mentees that we trained just out of school starting their own initiatives in their communities, and now actually expanding the knowledge and scaling the knowledge that they've gained from the training into their community. So we're having mentees who are starting innovations or initiatives around menstrual hygiene and economic empowerment. So for us, that is impact.
How wonderful. My next question, Faria, is that with all the amazing work that you're doing, what are the challenges in funding such initiatives? And how do you tackle your funding needs?
So I'd say one of the biggest challenge is trying to balance the different initiatives. Because as much as they all channel to the same goal and the objectives, of course, it can also be a little hard to balance them in terms of the needs and priorities, because all of them, we are trying to solve an issue and all of them are high priority. So
right.
Sometimes it can be hard to do that, especially being a community-based organization. It can be very hard to access funding. And that sometimes is that scaling is hard and scaling takes a little bit of time. But one of the things that we've worked on, so one of our focus is harnessing community resources. And because what we believe in is every community that we serve have the resources that they need to make their communities better. So once we figured that out, it was very easy for us to say, as much as we are looking to get grants and funding, there's a lot of resources that is untapped in the community. So that's community expertise, that's community philanthropy initiatives and things like that. So we tap into that. We tap into community resources that are available and also focus on philanthropy-based funding. So we reach out to philanthropists and we share with them our initiatives, and then they come in and they support. So one of the things I'd say we've also focused on is not just focusing on the financial fundings, but also the non-financial. So that has helped us to scale the programs that we do at community level.
Fascinating. And my next question is, Faria, what strategies do you employ to combat gender injustices in marginalized communities?
So one of the biggest strategy I'd say, and it took some time to learn that, is to listen to the community, because sometimes what we do is that we walk into communities and we assume we have all the answers, and we assume there's this big issue that we are coming to solve without necessarily listening to them. So one of the things that we really are intentional about is listening to the community and trying to figure out where is the root cause, where is the source of this challenge, why is female genital mutilation happening here? Why is there a lot of increased gender-based violence in this community? Why are women more affected by climate change? And then being able to listen to that, it's easy for us to say, oh, okay, then how do we solve this? We also conduct a lot of community-led initiatives. So for us, we believe that we are just the vision bearers, but the communities are the ones that lead this initiative. So our initiatives are more community-led. And so this creates a space for ownership for community members. And they're able to see, even when we talk about gender-based violence in the community, they're able to see that and identify that themselves, as compared to me coming in and telling them, you should not do this. This is what you're doing and it's bad. So creating a space where we are co-creating with community members of different genders, of different groups, really helps us to solve issues of gender injustices.
Very interesting. So far, you have time for two more questions. My next question is for you personally. How has your journey in social innovation and community development impacted your own personal growth?
Well, one thing I'd say, it's not been a very easy journey, because at some point I wasn't really sure which direction I was taking, because I started community development work, right? I've done that even as a child, seeing what my parents do and the community around me. And then officially I did that. I started doing it immediately I got into university. So at some point I got very stuck. But as I continued and to trust the process and to work on these different initiatives, one of the things that I've learned is to be very patient with my leadership process, which is very hard because I had set a bar so high and I had to achieve it at a particular time in my life. But then learning that the path is not straight is one of the key lessons I've had, and which has really helped me to take as much as I want to grow or I want to reach at this level. I also tell myself to be very patient and to pace myself. That is one thing that has really been an anchor in my leadership, that pacing myself is very important, being able to evaluate what I've done over time, because sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes we just work and work and work and work and do not take time to reflect on what we are doing, how what is the impact, what best can we do, how do we take rest. So those are the things that I've learned over my leadership experience over time as a community development practitioner.
Fascinating. Pare, my last question to you, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your own amazing journey, your own learnings, you know, as a social innovator, gender justice champion, what would you say are three lessons you would want a lot of young people who listen to our conversation take away?
So thank you for that question. One of the things I'd say is that we all have a role to play in the servant leadership space and actually in the social space, because most of the time we feel like community development or social impact is for a particular group of people who are either out there very loud, known, and sometimes we might miss on actually what we are supposed to do, but we all have a role to play. Either you are in the nonprofit, either you are in the for-profit space, whichever space you're in, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a business person, we all have a role to play in impacting our societies and impacting our communities. And once we understand that, it's going to be very easy to align our work with the sole direction of impacting our society. Something else, and I know I've said it before, is listening. Sometimes, especially as young people, we are very excited about doing social work and community development work. And we feel like we're so passionate, which is a good thing. And we feel like we have all the answers. But it's very important to listen to ourselves, to listen to the community, to listen to the environment around us, so that we can know what we need to do at what particular time. That's a key skill that I learned over time, and it has really helped me with serving the community that I serve. And of course, the last thing that I'd say, this is my favorite slogan, is to be courageous, to be brave, to also be kind and compassionate in the work that we do, and to, of course, be the change that we wish to see. So the change starts with us.
Wonderful. And on that note, Maria, thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for your wonderful lessons. The first one you said was we all have a role to play. Second, you said it's so important to be a good listener. And third, you said was be courageous, be brave, be kind. And finally, what you said, be the change you wish to be or wish to see. Thank you, Faria, for speaking to me about your journey. Thank you for speaking to me about Uzuri Empowerment Hub. You're doing such wonderful work, and I'm sure being well recognized in Kenya, and I'm sure all over Africa, and hopefully all over the world as well. Thank you for speaking to me, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for hosting me. I was very excited, but it was good to share the work that I do. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.